Jake, sitting in, what was the name of that place over there by my house? Oak and Embers.
Carhartt jacket.
Carhartt hat. Had just visited the church. Just really lost his mooring for you sailors. And sat there and talked. And now we fast forward 5 years. And Julie's got a chance. So if you continue to do what you sang, the odds are increased. There is no guarantee for our children that just because we bring them to church, they'll be okay. There has to be a whole lot more. We're just trying to increase the odds that the enemy doesn't get them. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever been to any sporting events and seen parents at sporting events rooting their children on? It's a sight to be seen. Now, I'm talking about the ones that root their children on, not the ones that make a fool out of themselves and everything. But it's a sight to be seen. I can't wait for us to get there. When the Lord decides to ride our colts that have been tied at where two ways meet. Ne'er a man sat on them. And when they get up here and sing like Julie and all these little ones, and we should be rooting them on. We're not drawing attention to the flesh. We're encouraging them. You know, we're saying you can go. Don't we have a cloud of witnesses? If the cloud of witnesses are encouraging us, then we that are witnessing it, that aren't in the clouds, ought to be encouraging them. That's my little exhortation this evening, okay? I get choked up watching God do something. I wish somebody would have brought me to church when I was little, giving me a bigger chance. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, 2 Corinthians, we got testimony? One of these days I'm going to get to a place where I don't have to ask. We just see the hand. Preacher, you mind if I say something? I feel like sometimes I'm pulling teeth. Pastor is made out of the same stuff as you, and he's a few cups shy. And if you get me before service or after service, and sometimes I forget what I'm doing, and I'm on a mission. And so that was one of them. I blamed Mike. Mike didn't grab all the pieces of paper out of the printer. And it wasn't Brother Michael. It was Pastor. He didn't print all the pages to go to the printer. But I have them tonight, and I'm happy for it. Amen? It's a different world up here, Alicia. And the laughing all the time. I'm going to church you one of these days. Amen, Michaela? She sits up here, and we're going to get her up here, and we're going to get her to lead a service one night and see how it goes. All right? No more testimonies? 2 Corinthians. Can you believe it? We're here. We are here. 11, 12, 13, 14, last four verses, 5 years in the making. All right, Miss Paula, we're here. Now that means before I left too, we were here for John. So that means this week we got to be there for the next two books, all right? And so you should pray for me, all right? Let's read these last few verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. How fitting. Finally. Brethren. Now that doesn't mean it was only men in the church. We understand that. I think we covered that this morning. Ladies, you're important. You're extremely important. I cannot ever preach enough on how important you are. But so many times the ladies' presence is understated in the Bible. It's not underappreciated. It's just understated. And there's a purpose for it. And God will state it when it needs to be stated. The Lydias and the Dorcases and the Rahabs and the Marys and all that. And I appreciate when he does. But this is speaking to, he wrote a church. And he wrote the men of the church. I don't know who it was. And I'm not shooting anybody when I say this. I was kind of grabbing men and just didn't tell them anything. Just pointing to them in the office, you know what I'm saying? It could have been behind the door that I'd created a hole in the floor and they were just dropping off in there, but I was pointing, and there was a lady out in the foyer, and again, am I going in there? And I said, no, this is a men's only affair. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, this is, when Joshua was speaking in his very much more eloquent message and probably a whole lot longer than mine was, he was talking to the elders, the leaders, the men, the judges. Somebody will say, well, God can, and there's a whole wave of that taking place now. And I get it. And somebody will say, well, God used Deborah in the years of the judges. Yes, he did. He did. And what was that fellow's name? Barak was in the shadows. And the only reason he used Deborah was an indictment against the nation. Why? Because there wasn't a man to step up. And that's what's happening today. And so it's not that he's negating the women in that church. He's telling the men of that church that are the ones that are going to lead that church. Finally, brethren, that was a long story, okay? I hope everybody received it well. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Words mean something. He didn't say might. He said shall. Verse 12, greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. There's the Trinity. People say the Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. It isn't by name. It isn't. There's a lot of things that aren't mentioned by name. Doesn't mean they don't exist. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Thank you for today. Thank you for what it represents and the for lack of a better term, Lord, the responsibility that lies within that. Help us to never be a church that shies away from the issues. Help me to never be a preacher that just preaches for comfort. Thank you for the attentiveness this morning. Thank you for the patience this morning. I pray, Lord, that there was grace received as well, that there was a challenge that men in here, myself included, said, I just got to do better. I got to step up. There's areas in my life I need improvement on. And we thank you for men like Joshua and others in the Bible that challenge us in that way. And thank you, Lord, that if we just obey, you'll be somebody that can help where we can't do what we're supposed to do. We ask you tonight, Lord, to help us. Be with us. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for what this church means. Thank you for the journey. Lord, many 5 years ago, I prayed to open up the study for Corinthians with a lot of things on my mind and heart that I was asking you for. Tonight, I close out Corinthians, and all of those things, the bulk of those things, have been answered, and I thank you for your divine providence and your sovereignty and your grace and patience and all of those to get us to where we are tonight. Help us, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we conclude a 5-year study into the first and second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Much has gone through my mind as I've studied this out and preached each verse for the last 5 years. Obviously, it wasn't a weekly thing, because we had many other, and I'm just saying this for Alicia so y'all can be patient, all right? Obviously, Alicia, it wasn't a weekly thing, so we weren't preaching out of Corinthians every week because we had many other things that took place and there were breaks in between, but I think it was sovereign how this study played out. If I look at it from my point of view, I believe it was God's sovereignty in how it played out, the timing of it. As I said before, and the last time I was here before I went away, I believe it was intentional. As with anything I tried to say or do as a pastor, I try to do it with intention. I used to say a long time ago, there's a method to my madness. Many people would try and figure out what in the world I was doing. Don't think I'm so crippled that when I say something, I don't have a purpose for it. I try not to just throw words out there. You might think I'm lost my mind sometimes. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I'm trying to get somewhere, and that's how I go about it. And there's never an idle word, or I hope there isn't, that I'm just saying. I have a I have a direction I'm going, and I'm trying to say things with purpose and intention. So I've said in past, there's a method to my madness. You might not understand it. God and me have good communication with one another. He understands me, and I appreciate it. Just as this morning's message and each message, it is with intention. I preached what I preached this morning because, honestly, we just need to hear it. You say, well, why does it seem like it's much more bombastic on Father's Day than it is Mother's Day? Because we bear the greater responsibility. Let me say that again. We bear the greater responsibility. Whether we hear it here or whether we hear it there, and I've said it many times to people, and I said it to somebody recently before I left. Listen, you're either going to do it here or you're going to answer for it there. We have a great responsibility as fathers. We have a great responsibility as men. We may be able to, they may be able to shuck it and divert from it and never own up to the responsibility, men that don't want to be fathers. But one day they're going to wish they were, and there won't be a chance to do it again. Children are not chalkboards. And so I preached this morning's message with intention. I preached what I preached this morning because we need to hear it, and I believe this church can make an impact on the next generation positively in our church, as well as change the area that God has placed us in. I believe we can become known as a place, and I forgot the card, Miss Emily. There was a lady from Hannah's Hope that wrote a card, and I don't have anybody to go to my office. I'll read it on Sunday so it'll make a better impact. That's what I usually do. Wrote a card, had some very lovely words in it. You know why? Because we're making an impact. I didn't say the Baldwins are making an impact, and the Baldwins won't say that they're the only ones making the impact. We're making an impact. Because we're involved. That's a ministry of our church, and they lead that ministry, and I appreciate it. But we're making an impact. What's the impact going to be in 5 years if we keep doing what the Bible says to do? What are we going to become known as? Are we going to become that place that says, oh man, I know just the church. They'll help you over there. They can minister to you over there. They'll assist you over there. I was glad that when we were in Africa, people would sit there and they'd knock on our door. Mormons would knock on our door. Jehovah Witnesses would knock on our door. And people would say, and they'd say, hey, I was just in the neighborhood and we were talking to people, and your neighbor just down the road said we ought to knock on your door. You know why the neighbor down the road wanted him to knock on my door? Because I was a fire-breathing dragon from America, and that's just the person that needed to talk to the Mormon. I hope in the years to come we're known for a place that when there's a family, a foster family, or anybody that needs foster care or something like that, that it'll continue to grow and people will say, I know a church that can help you. Isn't that what churches are supposed to do? Don't we say that? We bust out a knee, we have a surgery, we have some medical condition that needs tending to, and what do? We share that with somebody else. I know just the doctor that can help you with that. We ought to be known for a church that's just the church that can help somebody with that. My trip down to Florida helped me to realize something. Be careful. I won't say it often, Miss Paula, okay? Just be careful about this, all right? We truly have a great church. I believe it from the bottom of my heart. It's not that I didn't before. It's just sometimes Ohio's not my place. It just isn't. I'm sorry. I cross down there and it gets into different temperature and it gets into different territory and I ache. I ache for home. But I'm going to tell you what, the more I stay here and the less I go there and then I go to other places there and I come back here, it ain't that bad. It just ain't that bad. Amen. That's the only amen we're going to get out of you? It really isn't that bad. I was appreciative when I landed. And in my heart, I just said, I'm home. We've truly come a long way. No, it may not be the largest church. We may not be the wealthiest church. We might not be the most diverse church. But from the bottom of my heart, I believe we are a biblical New Testament church. And that's all that God really asks of us. It is not a church dependent upon one man. It's not a church that is dependent upon a staff of people. I mentioned that many years ago when I was coming here. There's three ways a church can operate. They can hire a pastor to do it all. and a lot of churches do. Or they can hire a pastor to hire a staff, and the staff does it all. Or you can get a biblical pastor that will train up men and women to do the work of the ministry, and he'll bring in evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. And I believe after so many years here, that's the church we are, and I appreciate it. It is not, as I said, a church dependent upon one man or a staff of people. She is compiled of individual people, as crazy as some of you all are. The church of misfit toys, say amen, Alicia. You said amen on all the other things. The church of misfit toys, Sam. She is compiled of individual people who fitly joined together make up a body of believers in a little spot in the world called, depends on where you're from, how you pronounce it. If you're from Cuyahoga County, or if you're from Cuyahoga Falls, they say it differently. They just do. You go up towards Cleveland, it's Cuyahoga. You get down here and somebody from the falls says Cuyahoga Falls, and then you make fun of me if I mispronounce Mantua or Mantua or whatever it is. Live in Florida for a while. Learn some of those Indian names down there in Florida, and you won't be as critical. She is compiled of individual people who fitly join together, make up a body of believers in a little spot in the world called Cuyahoga Falls, or as you Ohioans love to do up here, I live in Twinsburg, but my physical address is Hudson. And I pay electricity. It's confusing. We are in Stowe. We're in Stowe. That's the corner over there. And that over there is Cuyahoga Falls. And we're on two different power sources. And it's just confusing. But we're individual people fitly joined together to make up a body of believers in a little spot in the world called Cuyahoga Falls or Stowe. Somebody asked me while I was down south, Cuyahoga Falls, Stowe. Not sure about that. I'm talking to the pool guy that comes to Jane's house, and we're just shooting the breeze with each other. And I, just because I've traveled, I always ask people this. Where are you from? I said, hey, where are you from? You from around here? Oh, no. I said, whereabouts? He said, oh, you never would have heard of it. And I said, well, just shoot it at me. He said, oh, I was born in Ravenna. I said, you're right. I've never heard of that place. Lord knows I don't have three grandkids that were born in Ravenna. And he started naming all these towns, and I'm going, no way. And other people I met that I was down there. I think everybody from West Virginia moved to Ohio, got tired of Ohio, and then they moved to Florida. But we're just a little group of people in a little town called Cuyahoga Falls or Stowe, but yet has a reach, watch this now, that crosses the globe. While we sit here tonight, our reach is amazing. And it isn't just a monetary reach, but it's a personal reach into many lives that are attempting to reach into billions of lives. By way of internet this afternoon, the Timothy guys, we received a picture from Joe while ministering to the Alversons, and another pastor from New Jersey is there. Could you imagine what Paul could have gotten done with that kind of technology? And we have it at our fingertips. It isn't just a monetary reach, but a personal reach into many lives that are attempting to reach into billions of lives. For that, I am eternally grateful. So as Paul draws to a close his lessons, soundboard, Corinthians continued. Come on now. Lessons to a little church in a town called Corinth, the sequel. Trying to get catchy. I as well draw a close to our study of his letters, and what better timing? I say what better timing because everything I saw a church could be when I first stepped onto the property, Brother Mark, and what I so wanted in 2019 as I was coming out of a hospital room, we're here. We're here. And I don't say that lightly. We truly are a good church. Yes, we still have things that need improving. But we're still in the earthly flesh and will always need work until we are transformed into His image. We're a work in progress. You can either go forward or you can go backward. There's no just stagnation. And so tonight's a short message. Y'all need it. I know I preach long, but let me say this. Devil beats me up every time I preach a big, long message. I know I preach long, but I can say this as well. I love long as well. No one has ever said to me outside of the pulpit, "You've spent too much time helping me today. You've spent too much time listening to me today. You've spent too much of your time aiding me today in my difficulty." I've never had anybody say that. While I was down there, I went and ministered to somebody, a fellow preacher. And I said to Libby, I asked her first, because it's our time and Gene's time down there. And I said, "I'm going to meet him at 1 if it's okay." And she said, "Well, I probably won't see you till 5. That's just who she knows that. Just, and then I got back at 4. She said, "Well, that went quick." And it isn't because I'm there long. The greatest, can I say this, Timothy, guys, and people that want to minister, the greatest tools you have at your disposal. Sometimes, I tell Libby all the time, she's a talker. We all know she's a talker. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just listen to them. Sometimes people just want you to listen to them. There's a little phrase out there now in the world. They say, "I hear you." Brother O'Malley says this often, "I see you." He's acknowledging that that person has something. He's not there to necessarily agree or disagree. He's just there. He's giving himself to say, "I'm going to be here for this moment and I'm going to listen to you." And so tonight's a short message, if you'll listen fast. So never let it be said when I'm in the pulpit, I just may be helping someone that may never come to me personally. Just enjoy the ride if I take long. Somebody else might be needing help. I am what I am today because of the Pauls in my life preaching to the Eutychuses. So let's look at our last C tonight. Wait, am I facing that? No, sorry. Let's look at our last. All right. Let's look at our last C tonight that Paul imparted to this little church in a town called Corinth concerning ministry. And that's what we are, a church that ministers. And I'm humbled and honored to be a part of it. I'm honored to sit in a room with men of this church and throw a need out. And the men unanimously in unity say, "This is what we'll do. This is what we can do." It's humbling because churches are supposed to minister to people in need. And that's what we are, a church that ministers, and I'm humbled and honored to be a part of it. Paul finishes out with the commentations of the ministry. Watch this. The commentations. There's our last C if you're following along. I'm not going to review the whole book. The last one is the commendations of the ministry. Verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Scripture doesn't give us another letter or any indications past this of what happened. But at this juncture in the life of this church, Paul commended them from where they were to what they had become. I can only imagine what was going through Paul's mind as he wrote these last words. "Finally, brethren, farewell." It's sad, but at the same time, it's joyous to see where they were, what he said to them, and now what they'd become. I know many may get bothered, if I can say this. Many might get bothered by my illustrations and my reminders concerning this church. But someone had to say it, and someone had to do it. And if Scripture uses past failures and Scripture uses past successes and this turn and that turn and names things and points out where the problem was, I think it's a good rule of thumb for us to do it as well. Sometimes we all need someone to stick a mirror in our face. And I haven't minded doing it in my younger years, but I will say this, it's becoming harder and harder in my latter years. I heard of a church while I was away that just needed somebody to come in and, for lack of a better term, just be in place to fix things. And you know what I said to myself? Man, I ain't got no kids now. I ain't got no grandkids. It's just leaving me. And I, man, that, yeah. Yeah, let me do that. And I thought, no, I just don't know if I'm made for that anymore. I'll say this while I'm saying that. Some of the restoration of this church wasn't Michael and Libby Lovett. Some of it was Cody, Joshua, and Christina that decided to sit on a church pew, endure marriages, have some grandkids, so that other young people that would come say, well, that's got young people there. Maybe I can stay. So, my younger years, it was easier. Now as I get older, it's harder and harder to say tough things sometimes. And someone says, well, you sure didn't mind this morning. And I say, well, there's still a little bit of that in me. Amen. I'm glad I came when I came. I'm glad for every place the Lord put me to smooth out enough of the rough edges before I got here, Alex. Sometimes the Lord has preached a message years ago, from the brook to the bag to the battle. David pulled 5 stones, smooth stones, out of a river, put them in a bag, but he only used 1 for the battle. Those stones, how long did they stay in that water? Washing the hard edges off of them. Till David could choose 1, 5, put them in his bag, and where'd they stay? They stayed in darkness. No light, just waiting for what? David, picture of God, to reach his hand into the bag and pull 1 out and use them. John the Baptist, greatest man born of a woman, Jesus said. You know how long his ministry was? 6 months, Brother Mike. I've got a longer ministry on the earth than the Lord Jesus Christ had. How can I ever have a pooch mouth over that? And I'm not, you understand, obviously his ministry has been from everlasting to everlasting. I'm talking about in the flesh, what he had, 3.5 years. John the Baptist had 6. I've had 30. That's amazing. It's humbling. And so, I'm glad for every place the Lord's put me to smooth out enough of the rough edges before I got here. So let's look quickly. I see you're not laughing with me. All right. Let's look quickly at the closing of this study in Paul's letter to see what his commendations were. First, Paul commended them, watch this, in their position. Positionally, they had gotten to a much better place than where they were. And Paul wanted to commend them for it. And let me say this. This shouldn't just be for this church. It should be for every church. I shouldn't feel like a stranger when I go to another New Testament church. You shouldn't feel like a stranger when you go to another biblical New Testament church. Once I bear record that I am a Christian and choose to gather with them and give evidence of being from another church of like faith, it should and I should feel like home. Paul commends them in their position. Watch this. To be first, to be fixed, to be fixed. He commends them first in their position to be. Be, watch this, is a verb. It is defined by Noah Webster to be fixed, to exist, to have a real state or of existence for a long or short period of time. It means as well to be made to be, to become. It means to remain, let the garment be, to remain. It means, fourthly, to be present in a place. And fifthly, it means to have a particular manner of being or happening. Paul was not only commending them, but challenging them to be. And that's what he wanted of them, and that's what he's teaching us, that we need to be. We're supposed to be a New Testament, local New Testament, biblically sound church. And I assure, there shouldn't be 4,000 churches on every corner. If there are, they ought to be the same, and the prophets are subject unto the prophets. It's sad. There's not a lot of places I can go to in this area. I'm thankful for Mission Baptist Church over there. I'm thankful for Community Baptist Church. And I'm thankful for other places, but there's churches everywhere that are not biblically sound. And if I walk in, I'm not welcome. I remember when we got here and Christina went to a youth event at another church over in Medina or Mogador or something with an M. 20,000 names around here with M. And she got there and the youth pastor said to her when she came from this church to go to that church, "Oh, you must have read that book." And Tina said, "Read the book?" He said, "Yeah, bobbed haired, bossy wife, some blue jeans. John R. Rice wrote that book years ago." You know how she felt when she left there? That's how welcome she was going to a church of like faith and belief. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people that have a whole lot more convictions and standards than I do. The last thing I'm going to do to somebody that holds a higher standard of holiness and closeness to God is mock or ridicule them. Paul was commending them to be. He had already challenged them and chastised them. "Such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're cleaned." People never should walk into this church and feel any less than anybody else. Everybody answers to God for themselves and their standards and their convictions, but not everybody's at the same place. Brother Joe reached out to me. I told Brother Joe, "If I have one more person from over there, contact me." I said, "It's coming out of your pocket. Because if you want to go to the mission field, you're taking away from what you can get from this church because we only got so much." But he reached out to me and he said, "What's those four standards that you have of asking?" I've answered 10-page questionnaires before. I've signed letters of intent and agreements with doctrinal statements of churches before as a missionary to get support from them. I don't mind it. 10-page questionnaire, you know what that goes? It goes in the trash. Because they're not trying to get me with them. They're trying to figure out a way to exclude me. And that soothes their conscience. I have four. And I forgot them. I have four. I forgot them. What is it, Brother Mike? Tell me my four. Are you what? Single, married, King James, local church, and are you living a separated lifestyle? That's broad. Can I go to your social media and see that in the years you've progressed? Or are you transgressed? I mean, it's amazing to me. I'm watching them all. When I talk to a missionary on the phone, I got two screens up. I've got my cell phone in front of me. I'm looking at their social media accounts. Because watch this. I'm not investing in somebody that's not on the same sheet of music as me. I just don't want to do it because I've been burnt so many times. There ought not to be a confusion. Paul commended them in their position. He said, be, and then he lists these out. He says, number one, be perfect. It was a wish that every disorder might be removed, that all that was out of joint might be restored, that everything might be in its proper place, and that they might be just what they ought to be. A command to be perfect, however, does not prove that it has ever, in fact, been obeyed. And an earnest wish on the part of an apostle that others might be perfect does not demonstrate that they were. And this passage should not be adduced to prove that any have been free from sin. It may be adduced, however, to prove that an obligation rests on Christians to be perfect and that there is no natural obstacle to their becoming such, since God never can command us to do any impossibility. That's what one commentator said. We're not perfect we're perfect positionally. We're perfect in Christ. What's that? What is it? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. Oh, what's that one? That ye may be perfect. Well, oh man, I'm trying to think of that verse of scripture. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. We're perfect in position. I'm in Christ. When God looks at me, he sees Christ. It doesn't mean I'm not supposed to repent. It doesn't mean I'm not supposed to ask for forgiveness. In Christ, I'm positionally perfect. But there's still some areas in my life I got to work out and bring under the obedience of Christ and the scriptures. And all of us are a work in progress. But Paul said to this church, be perfect. There's no perfect church. But we ought to be striving to be in Christ so we can be perfect in him. We all have flaws. We ought to be close enough that we can talk to each other about flaws. I ought to be comfortable enough to say as a pastor, I see flaws. And you ought to be comfortable enough to come to me in my office and say, Pastor, I love you, but... And I ought to be able to say, thank you for caring about me. Thank you that my zipper was unzipped. Thank you that there was a nose hair that touched my chin and you pointed it out to me in love. I don't know if those were the best illustrations, but they're the ones that came to mind. Number two, Paul commended them in their position to be perfect. Then he said, be of good comfort. It means to be consoled by the promises and supports of the gospel. Take comfort from the hopes which the gospel imparts. There should be nobody in this church tonight that walks out of here hopeless. Because if it's not mentioned in the message, it should be mentioned in the ministry and the manpower of this church that there's hope in Christ. It isn't go ye be warmed and filled. Be of comfort. Be consoled by the promises and supports of the gospel. Take comfort from the hopes which the gospel imparts. Jesus is not walking the face of the earth today. We are his ambassadors and representation, and we are the ones that we're supposed to be imparting comfort to other people through the gospel because of our benevolence to other people on behalf of God. How can a church help others to be comforted in God's promises if they're not themselves? Number three, he said, he commended them in their position to be perfect, to be of good comfort, to be of one mind. They had been greatly distracted and divided into different parts. Remember when this started out? I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and they were all divided. I'll tell you what, Pastor, while you were gone, Brother Baldwin does a much better job than you. I'm going to tell you what, I even like, actually, Wednesday night is more exciting now with the young Timothy guys doing it. There's none of that going on here. Everybody, and I'm not bothered by it, and I'm not intimidated by it. I don't matter. We're all in this thing together, every one of us. If Brother Baldwin can get up here and do a better job than me, so be it, and such and such. We ought not to be bickering and dividing. And man, when I first got there, there was a time, oh, so-and-so's preaching tonight? Yeah, I ain't coming tonight. That's not the case now. We're more spiritually mature. That was a sign of spiritual immaturity. We are a spiritual mature church. Be of one mind. They had been greatly distracted, divided into different parties and factions. At the close of the epistle, he exhorts them, as he had repeatedly done before, to lay aside these... Remember they were bickering, going to court with one another? I mean, there was so much going on. To lay aside these strifes and to be united and manifest the same spirit. The sense is that Paul desired that dissension should cease and that they should be united in opinion and feeling as Christian brethren. Nothing is more off-putting than to be in a church where everyone is of different minds concerning the things of God. I'll still never forget. I'll go to the judgment seat of Christ remembering that couple that sat right there on the night I candidated. Broken, hurt, from another church and just visiting on the night I candidate. Only for some jackleg Jezebel to be sitting in the back bickering and arguing over what Bible translation we ought to use. And breaks out into some kind of fist fight almost here, where the visiting pastor candidate in the church had to say, could we maybe do that on another night? We have visitors here tonight. That's what was. That's what was at Corinth. That's not what was there now, nor is it here. And I thank God for it. Because there's nothing more off-putting than to go to church and just feel the tension and the fighting and the bickering and the arguing. It ought not to be in the house of God. And I thank God, and Paul commended them. And I say this to you, I commend you. We're of one mind. He said this as well. He commended them in their position to live in peace. It means to cultivate an environment of peace. Or he says elsewhere, follow peace and pursue it. Cultivate a peaceable disposition and neither say nor do anything which has a tendency to irritate each other. You ever met people that's their spiritual gift was annoyance? As I've said, I'm glad that this is where our church is today. It makes much more enjoyable services than going home discouraged for having been in church. I've been to places before and you leave and you feel worse than when you came. And you want to come and I want to walk out of here tonight. Just, man, I was so glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. I'm thankful we're here. Number two, Paul commended them in their position. Secondly, he commended them in their promise. He says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, that's conditional on the principle. What's the principle? That this is how you conduct yourself in church. When you conduct yourself in church, then he's commending them on the promise they receive. The God of love and peace shall be with you. How can God love us when we can't love somebody else? How can God give us peace when we're at odds with everybody else? When a church is following the principles of Scripture and living what God said, no matter what, God's love and peace shall be with them. Let me say that again. I might have missed punctuation there. When a church is following the principles of Scripture and living out what God has said, no matter what, God's love and peace shall be with them. We spoke about it this morning when Joshua was saying, you follow God, you do what God says, and guess what? Even in a land of wickedness, God will be with you. He'll bless you. He'll help you. He'll give those that land to you. The God, this is what one commentator said. Paul didn't want them to forget that. He wanted them to tell them, live in peace. The God who is all love and who is the author of all peace, what a glorious designation is this. There can be no more beautiful expression, and it is as true as it is beautiful, that God is a God of love and of peace. He is infinitely benevolent. He delights in exhibiting his love, and he delights in the love which his people evidence for each other. At the same time, he is the author of peace, and he delights in peace among people. When Christians love each other, they have no reason to expect the God of love will be with them. They have no reason to expect, they have reason to expect that the God of love will be with them. When they live in peace, they may expect the God of peace will take up his abode with them. In contention and strife, we have no reason to expect his presence. And it is only when we are willing to lay aside all animosity that we may expect the God of peace will fix his abode with us. Next, Paul commended them not only in their position, in their promise. Paul commended them in verse 12 in their practice. Greet one another with a holy fist, or a kiss. I forgot where I was this morning. You know why I said that? And I watched it on people's face when I got here. I was leaning in, going to give people hugs. And you could just see, some of y'all ain't there yet. It is as much of a biblical commandment to greet one another with a holy kiss and the brethren as it is to go ye into the world. But it is so uncomfortable for some people in church, and I cannot figure it out to save my life. And it's usually the older people. And it's bad habits and it's bad nature. I was leaning in. I was hugging people. Man, I'm happy to see y'all. At least somebody talked to me. I sat down in a church. One person talked to me. I'm in church. This is home. Man, all of a sudden there was a whole, the covey of quail, the girls, came around the corner up the steps. And I don't know which one. One of them was one of my grandkids. Boom. Got me. And it was just like boom, 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 boom. There's six or seven of them. Get around some of you men. Come on, let me demonstrate how some of y'all are. This is a biblical commandment. I go in like this. No, you come in like you're going to give me a hug, man. It's good to see you too, brother. This is terrible, man. Why is that commandment there? Because that's how the world's going to be. You go to work tomorrow, they're not happy to see you. They're not encouraging you. They're not behind you. We are. It's a sign of endearment. It's an encouragement. If Miss Sue, you're a nurse, there's power in these things, aren't there? There's power. There's just the touch. Go to a hospital. And we get in church and it's just... Now, it doesn't have to be a hug fest. I understand it. It's scriptural. You see Brother O'Malley, he leads it. Brother Whitfield does it wonderful. I get back. Brother West, when I saw him down there, he leans in. I didn't have to say, I didn't put a sign up like I'm in an airport. Some of y'all, man. He sees me. He's happy to see me. Greets me. Open the service, Brother Lovett. So good to see you. This is what he says. Good to see Brother Lovett. Whatever, however y'all do that. He's from Ohio. I'm trying to work out some things with him where I take his church, he gets this church. Until I went to Florida and I realized Florida's not where God wants me. Paul commended them in their practice. We ought to be friendly to each other. I know y'all are Yankees, and it doesn't come easy. But my goodness, try. Please try. It changes things, man. How old are you, Cody? 32? 31. Man, I feel like 32 years of my life have just been sucked out of me. But anyways, I can go up to him at work, anywhere, in a crowd full of people. Hug his neck and he don't blush. He's not embarrassed. He's not shy. Josh, I drove up on my bike the other day. Just wanted to go see him while he was at work. And Matthew was there. He works there now. Jacob's there. Jacob's a Yankee through and through. And I hope he's watching tonight. So you ever watch him come and try and hug me? I walked up, all them tattooed, nose-pierced freaks that work at that place where Josh works. I see Josh. They're all watching me. Who's that guy on the bike? What's Josh hugging? Doesn't even bat an eyelash, comes in. You know why? Because there's a kinship there, father-son. Paul's commending them. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. It's a friendship. It's a fellowship. We have something that the world doesn't have. It ought to be like the Hallmark Channel when we see people. Because watch this, we've been out in the world fighting hell about a half acre. We're not just friends and buddies and acquaintances here. We're children in a family. And God's our Father. Every service, you see it. Every service, their parents aren't doing this behind them. Every service, one of my grandkids come up to me, hugging my neck, or leg, they can't reach my neck yet. Hugging me, greeting me. Why? Because it's a family. That's what Paul's saying. He's commending them for that. They're wanting to take each other to court in the beginning. Now he's saying, hey, when you see each other, greet one another with a holy kiss. Sometimes it just might make somebody else's day. As awkward as it may be for you above the Mason-Dixon line. Paul commended them in their practice. This is and should be a practice of any New Testament church. It isn't a Southern thing, nor this thing or that thing. It is as much a New Testament command as any other. When I came to church today and I said it, I know it makes some uncomfortable, but I'm obeying Scripture for the sake of my church. I hugged Brother Bill longer than I hugged anybody else. Haven't seen him in weeks. He's like father to me. I'm here because he came in my office one day. You think when I see him, I'm not going to give him a hug? I probably ought to push him over for asking me to stay. Let me give you these last two. 41 minutes. Paul commended them in their partnership. He said, all the saints salute you. I get a card about every 2 weeks. I get text messages every Sunday from preachers all over. Praying for you today. Pray y'all's church has a good service. Brother Whitfield, I reached out to him this morning. Got me a new watch. I got cellular on it. I don't have to just keep, I can just voice text one night. Voice text him on the way up here this morning. I was thinking about him. He responded back. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. That's a salute. You know what that is? It means we're not in this by ourselves. There's other people out there. That's why we write those letters. That's why we send those cards. That's why we send out the prayer letters. Because we're letting other people know, watch this. We're for you and you're for us. We're in this together. And watch this. We're not Elijah sitting under a juniper tree pouting. That's only me. No, there's all kinds of people laboring all over the world. It's nice to get a picture from the Alversons, wasn't it, brother? You, brother, whoever you are. Amen. Whoever else got that? Isn't it nice to get those things? Paul commended them in their partnership. All the saints salute you. It isn't enough that only those within the walls of this church see and experience us being a good church, but it should be an inspiration to other churches in their partnership with us. John Gill said it like this, the commentator. Being all interested in the same divine favor, redeemed by the same blood, sanctified by the same grace, they have a common concern for each other's welfare. Sat down for a couple hours while I was gone. a dear brother, dear friend, met him through Facebook and become good friends. Our ages are different, our locations are different, and our spiritual lines in the sand we draw are different. But I can sit down, hug his neck, love him, appreciate his fellowship. Why? Because I'm going to share the same heaven with him. He's not doctrinally incorrect. He's just not in the same position I am in some places. But he's still a dear friend to me. I'm going to tell you what. Once we get there, we're going to realize some of the differences we had were childish. I'm not talking doctrinal differences. I'm just talking the little gnats and camel hoofs. Paul commended them in their partnership. I'm glad that we've been able to introduce. Brother Whitfield wrote a personal note to Libby and I. And he cannot say enough how much he appreciates this church. What it's done for him and encouraged him. How did that happen? Because of a friendship with Brother O'Malley that spanned 20, 30, almost 30 years. And he really didn't have a friendship with me. He was just a man that was ministering to my kids, and I watched him. And he's been introduced to this church, and look what it's done. There's a partnership. Paul commended them. Corinth wasn't a church all by itself, and neither are you now. Lastly, this. Paul commended them in their promises. Not promise, as I stated earlier, but promises. What were the promises of this church now? That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. What a benediction. Paul closes out his final words to them with a benediction, proving and promising the doctrine of the Trinity and the promise of it to those that will walk with and yield to God. Do you know how many churches are absent of that? Do you know how many churches I've sat in as a missionary, as a preacher visiting, just looking to find somebody else when you're just looking for a cool drink of water somewhere, Brother Matt? When you're traveling, when you're on vacation, you're just looking for somewhere else, Brother Baldwin, and you come in, and God ain't within 100 miles of that place, and you can't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you can just see the bickering and the fighting and the Uncle Goofy and Aunt Creepy. No, Paul commended them in their promises that God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit would be with them. And such should be the case for every church. But sadly, I've been in more churches with his threefold presence there than those with it. Let that never be said of us. When a person walks in to this church, campus, whatever you want to call it, the whole grounds, they ought to notice a difference. They ought to sit there and say, wow, I've got family that don't even treat me like that. I'll never forget my last illustration, 46 minutes. We've went twice to Chicago, met that preacher through social media. Went there the first time, felt like I helped him. We became closer friends. His wife just sat back skeptical, just watching us. You know, you ever, maybe you don't, you go somewhere and you just, I sense it here sometimes. People are watching me out of the corner of their eyes, seeing how I interact with people. Pastor's back. Won't get up and shake my hand, but they'll watch me go around and talk to everybody else. And I watched her while we were there. Second time back, we're eating at Portillo's. Italian beefs. She said, I got to ask y'all a question. What's y'all's story? Libby and I looked at each other. What do you mean? She says, y'all are different. I said, what do you mean? She says, you're just different. She said, you're more fatherly and grandparently than my own parents. And I said, we're just us. Libby and I are just us. And I said, no, let me back up. We're us because of a local church. And a local church taught us how to be people that cared and loved and were compassionate and kind. And no, we're not perfect. And I ain't got it all figured out. But it's a sad day when a preacher can go to another church and preach and somebody's got to be sitting there looking through and saying, is that real? Is that genuine? That not ought to be the case. We have a wonderful relationship now. But I'm going to tell you what, there's so much out there. People, when they walk into here, they ought to say, me and my mom don't even treat me like that. My father's that kind to me. Everything that we need that's lacking that we can't find out there ought to be found here. I didn't spend time with my family today, but I'm full. I got cards, I got hugs, I got a caramel frappe from McDonald's, I got a cookie to go home. Everything with my family not even present is at the house of God. You know why? Because we're where we ought to be. And we're finally there, and we're at a place we can minister to people. We're not arguing over the color of the carpet. We're not arguing over a Bible translation. We're not putting a speaker, a microphone out to record business meetings. I never even submitted blueprints to make the changes in here. Whatever you want to do, Pastor. That's a church. And I ought not to take advantage of it, and I ought not to take it for granted, and there's a lot of people to do. And if we keep doing that, we can help the people that come through. Did you see the look on Jonathan's face today? Like he never missed a beat. I didn't see everybody standing over him. Where have you been? Do you know how long it's been since you've been here? What, you're wearing jeans? In the world, you're wearing jeans. Are you married yet? No. Just accept them for who they are and watch this. God can do the work that we don't need to do. Now, and y'all have to be on point. Because the wild man from Gadarene preaches for an hour and 40 minutes. Father, we'd ask you to help us. Thank you for the church that we have tonight. I was glad to be home. Glad to hug people's necks this morning. Glad to see after 5 years how I came to the pulpit that night and said, if we're going to get anywhere, we're going to have to study Corinth. And we've studied it. Now we're at a place, Lord, that I appreciate. And I know the devil attacks, and I know he will, and he'll discourage, and he'll get in people's crawl. And I pray that we all be of one mind and in unity and peace. And we lean on you, and we allow you to work in our lives, and we'll be fine. I don't want to be an Akron Baptist Temple, Lord. I don't want to be so many churches that I see on a week-to-week basis that I read of in an email looking for a pastor with all kinds of problems and divisions and payments and bills and confusion. Lord, help us to guard it with our lives. Lord, I know the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Lord, the building of Ephesus isn't there anymore. And Laodicea isn't there anymore. There's a lot of other churches that aren't there anymore because the people in it didn't want to be of one mind and in unity. So help us, Lord, to stay that way here. Thank you what you've given us. Thank you I can go home tonight and sleep good, basking in the blessings of a local New Testament church with one mind set on the ministry. Help us, I plead, in the days to come. Thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.